Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Got great ideas, but no idea how to build a website? Get Bluehost. Their AI design tool creates high-quality WordPress sites super fast. Whether you're a blogger, influencer, or launching a side hustle, Bluehost helps boost your growth with built-in marketing and e-commerce tools. Upgrade to cloud to get 100% uptime and 24/7 security to stay online all the time. Why wait? You've got the vision. Make it real. Visit Bluehost.com to get started.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello, Dustin.
Hey, Devin. Welcome back. It's been a couple weeks.
Yes, it has.
Well, actually, it hasn't been that long. It's just...
It's been more than a week. We took one off for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We took one off, and we posted an old Four Brothers Thanksgiving podcast from 2021. Right. I got some good feedback on that. People thought it was funny, which it was. So
nice. Let's do it again this week. Good.
All right, what do you got for us? Do it again, yeah. And we'll be back later. See you later.
The axe in the hand of a gifted craftsman can shape the world.
Axe love. Yeah, I've been, I was bidding against a whole bunch of different people on Whiskey River's axe, I guess Thanksgiving axe, auction.
So that was the 35 emails we got.
Exactly. Yeah.
You've been outbid.
You're in the lead of the bid. You've been outbid. You got you're back in the lead. You've been outbid. You're back in the lead. You've been outbid. Yeah. Yeah, so that was the night after Thanksgiving, I believe. Yeah, it was like Friday night or something. And we were actually sitting at the dining room table in my in-law's house in Vermont, and we were playing Mexican train dominoes, and while we were doing that, I'm like actively like trying to win at least one axe handle. Like I'd bid on I think 6 or 7, you know, when it's kind of early on, you know, like $20 here, you know, $30 here, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I had lost a couple. Like I would put in like 40 as my top, and then I'd get outbid by like 45. And so I was like, you know, it was early on. I was like, oh, that's fine. Okay. And like an outbid. Right. And then like later when it was down to like my last axe, I was like, no, I was bidding some up to like $80 and $90. And then other people would outbid me. I was like, I just want one axe. I want one Osage orange axe handle, not axe, but axe handles. They were axe handle bids. So I did end up winning one with a bid of $70, which is, you know, it's high, but I'd planned on buying two or three if I could get them for like 40. So, you know, that's okay. but you know, I figured it's kind of more like supporting Brandon and helping him out. And also I got that, like that gambler's bidding itch, you know, like, no, I want to win one of these. I got to win something.
Need a taste.
But yeah, I got one.
I can just take out another $200.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And that'll be... So how is it? Is it nice? Is it?
I haven't opened it yet. No, I got it. I came home today. It is Thursday, so it's been a week, I guess, or a day less than a week since I bought it. I won it at auction, which is pretty good for shipping turnaround. Thank you, Brandon. But I haven't opened it yet. And I got home and I was kind of, we got home a little bit late, like about 5:30 or 6 or something like that. And you know, kind of just sitting around drinking a beer, chilling a little bit, and then talking with you and talking with some other people, like texting back and forth. And then before I knew it, it was time to start getting ready for dinner. And so we did that, and then I didn't get a chance to open it, but I kind of want to like open it on camera, you know, do a little reel or something of open it up and pull it out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I figured it wasn't just like open it up to look at it. I wanted to actually, like, you know, make it a little bit of an event. So
gotcha. Yeah.
I haven't done it yet.
But. Speaking of reels and shorts, since we've been putting out a decent amount for us, mm-hmm. like 4 things in 4 weeks, which is crazy, even, you know, even if they're shorts from
yeah, right.
the video. But it, I mean, it really does help. And it helps that it's November and December.
Yeah.
The numbers right. always go up. So the channel grows, the, mm-hmm. You know, viewers grow, the subscribe, everything grows during this time. But we're also putting a few more in. So, yeah, we got to do more of those. Keep on it.
Yeah.
I just talked to you about doing, you know, just mini, they're not documentaries, but not really, because so many people, so many things on YouTube now are just people pontificating about whatever, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
it's like, why was this thing the greatest in the 90s or what? It's all right. of those videos yeah. and just people doing voiceovers and then with some photos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, we should do that, but for like craft stuff, you know, do a little bit right. of that where you see some stuff of Dustin. I dig in some old, you know, there's a million free photos and images
yeah,
and all that
and
type
stuff.
Of stuff of
yeah.
old copyright free stuff that you could find and
yeah,
just, you know, just do a nice little, you know, little mini documentaries on whatever, like axes or bows or whatever we're interested in.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, I mean, I know there's the whole like 10 minute time limit thing to really, like make good money on videos, but you know, would you foresee them being that long?
It's 8 minutes now.
Is it 8 minutes? Okay.
Right. Well, 8 minutes to do ads in the middle.
Monetize.
You can okay. always put them on both sides.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, I would say a 10 to 15 minute thing.
Okay, yeah.
You know, keep it worth people watching.
Right.
I think that's a good, like, amount. I think a lot of those type of videos are that. Some go real far. Right. Some are like an hour, but unless the subject is that deep or that interesting to us, we won't. It'll just be, you know,
right.
interesting ideas and photos and just to get you thinking about a subject. And
yeah, that's cool. I like it.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we, you know, because we don't focus on just, like, one thing, we focus on all sorts of different things. It kind of opens us up to just talk about whatever types of craft or whatever type of art or, you know,
yeah, if there's
hobby
an interesting,
or whatever.
Yeah, right. If there's an interesting idea about something that's not so specific, yeah, like something in art, like we talk about on the podcast.
Yeah,
like what is this? What does it mean to do this? What is, you know, if you're, are you only a maker if you do this? Are you only an artist? Are you only a blacksmith
right.
if you, you know, mine your own?
Yeah,
you know,
or
iron.
Yeah, right.
Or
yeah.
whatever. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, any of that stuff we could just do. Take a little. And I not really. I don't think I use AI other than for help with scripts.
Right.
Like I told you, like, it gives you a good, I mean, AI is amazing. You can ask it, what's an idea, what's a guide, and what's some paragraphs we can start using, and it just
right
gives you a B-level script right off the bat from scratch,
right.
and then we can start interjecting our own actual ideas and what we really think, and
right.
just have some, yeah, some, you know, nice little thought pieces, and then also intersplice some footage of you doing stuff or like nice beauty shots of you. I mean, if it's about axes, we'll have you look through your axe collection and going chopping some wood and hanging an axe handle and just using
right.
some of that footage. Or maybe having you in the middle of it if I'm doing a voiceover, but you're like still the on camera thing, you know, every once in a while
right.
you're sitting there talking about just off the cuff how you feel about certain things.
Right. Yeah. No, that'd be good, yeah, because I think that's it's a good way to just, like, to dive a little bit deeper into some subjects and just approach them in a different way, you know, just talk about history and talk about, you know, its place in current day, you know, like, maker culture and whatnot. So, yeah, I think it sounds fun.
Yeah, and we can dig into stuff we like, yeah, you know, Viking stuff. And
right,
you can do a whole separate thing on that and, you know, have footage of you and your group, you know,
like, right, yeah,
and do a really cool, like, just, you know, stuff like that. And like I said, 10 to 15 minutes, that's pretty easy to do,
right?
And you don't have to drone on and on, you just keep it kind of tight, show some cool images, some good footage. Yeah,
that's cool, man. I like it. I thought, it's a good idea, and just like reading what, you know, AI kind of came up with. It's just interesting and succinct. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's not like, it's not the best, you know, paragraph of information ever, but it's very just like, this is some interesting information and it's written pretty well. And, you know, this is a good starter spot for you to kind of jump off of and, you know, elaborate on. So
just read it in our own voice, you know, and switch some things here and there. And then interject our own actual ideas, the thing that made us interested in the subject in the first place.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. I like it. Cool, man. All right. I have a quick, challenge for you, a quick quiz. All right, okay. I'm gonna open a drink, and I want you to tell me what type of drink it is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All right, ready?
Let me put my second ear.
Yeah.
Ear headphone on. All right, go ahead.
All right, here it is.
Oh, good Lord! Well, that's probably some type of nitro stout thing, maybe a Guinness.
You got it right on the money.
Nice.
Ski. I was trying to get that, like, the little nitro ball thing. Oh, no. Uh-oh, it overflowed.
It's okay. Oh, no.
Here in the studio, got some beer on the floor. It's all right. It's all right.
Nice.
But, yeah, a little, it's that time of year. It's that Guinness time of year where it's getting cold out. It's colder than shit here in Maryland right now. Today, jeez,
for sure, like, man. I've had some issues with the heater unit outside.
Yeah,
it frosts up, and it used to only be when there was snow and stuff. It would suck stuff into the fins,
right?
And it would freeze over. So then you got to go out and melt it with, you know, heaters, blowers, hot water, whatever you can. Because all of a sudden you wake up and it's, you know, 62 degrees, and then you're like, why isn't, you know, I have a real heating system on this side of the house. Why isn't it, why is it 60 degrees in here?
Oh, right, because that's like the mini split on that side, right?
Because it's pulling through ice, so it's like, it's just an AC.
It's a natural winter AC unit.
Yeah, it's struggling to try to heat up ice air. and just, it's not pulling enough in. And anyway, so we got that dialed in. I just had to do it a few times and really get that right.
Yeah, man, it's
cool.
We let's see, what was it? Sunday. We were, I know what it was, Monday, maybe Monday. Yeah, Monday. I was at work, and this is one of the cold days, and I got a text from my neighbor saying that her son heard a transformer blow, so we were out of power.
Oh, no.
That was probably around like 4:30 or so. So we came home, and you know, our house is small, so it stayed pretty warm like throughout the whole time when the power was out. But still, you know, it was dropping down. It probably got into the like low 60s in our house, so it was pretty chilly.
Yeah.
But so we went out to dinner and stuff, and kind of came home and bundled up. We had candles all on and on, just like hoping, like, you know, we were looking at the power company website and stuff, and they were saying like, it'll be fixed by 10:30, and it'll be fixed by 11:30, and then 12:30.
So you just go to sleep.
Yeah, so we just all bundled up. We went to sleep, and about midnight, because I think we probably went to bed around like 10:30 or so, because it's like dark, and, you know, I was like, well, I guess I'm just gonna go to bed.
Right.
Cold. So we were in bed, and about midnight, Nicole, well, like, the dogs are barking in the living room. And they're in their crate, but we like put extra blankets in their crate with them, so they were fine. Toby's always hot anyway, so little Luna just curls up next to him. She's good. So they were barking, and Nicole said, she's like, I think I heard someone knock on the door. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. And then I like went to get up, and she like jumped out of bed, because she was wearing like full pajamas and hoodie and everything under her, like, you know, under the blanket. So she just got up and walked out, and she said when she walked out, she could see the power company truck lights like outside. You know, she could see there was a power truck out there. So she went to the door, and it was like just a guy there, and he's like, hey, I just want to let you know that we're walking around the house and checking things out. I don't want to, like, you know, freak you out because you see people outside. Like, I was like, okay, you know, knocking on the door at midnight when people are asleep, that doesn't freak us out, but whatever.
I know, it's what's better, either try to not wake the people up or just be cruising around their house.
And then, obviously our power's out, so we know that, like, power company people are going to be there.
They probably have to do that because people probably have been shot before.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, exactly. You'd rather be like, hey, I'm here. Don't run outside, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to shoot someone who's knocking at your door. Not at least right away, you know, right?
Right, but you maybe someone out, in the back, some like helper you told, hey, go around the other side, and he's got a little flashlight on his head, and he's like wandering around the back door. He might get shot.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was Monday, and then yesterday, Nicole, when she left yesterday morning, yesterday was Wednesday, so 2 days later, she left in the morning about 9:45 to go to work, and she said the power was out again, like it had gone out again. Mm. So I'm like, oh, man. But by the time I got home after work and came home with Corinne, we drove up the driveway, and it's, you know, because it's winter town now, and it gets light at, I mean, dark at like 4:45. Mm-hmm. Got home at about 5 or so, and it was, you know, dark out, and I could see, like, all my late neighbors' lights were on, but our lights were still off. I was like, oh, man, what the heck? How, like, we're all in the same power source. Like, how is this happening? So, walk into the house, and, like, I'm ready to, like, try to figure out what's going on and call the power company, and I see the lights on my, like, oven are blinking, you know? So, the power's on. We just had all our lights off. Yeah. So, it was like, everything was just turned off. It just made sense, but yeah, so it was, like, 2 days, so... You know, the house doesn't take long to warm up, but it's just like almost the mentality of it being out for a couple of days, like made me feel like cold in the house for like, the, you know, yesterday and all week. Like, so cold. And then this morning we like get up to go to work and take Corinne to school. And it was actually fairly mild out. You know, it was almost like 50 degrees outside this morning. Yeah. But then by the time I left work, it was breezy and, you know, the wind chill of like less than 20. So.
Yeah, it's very windy today.
Yeah, really windy and really cold. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Trying to get over this winter cold I got. Man, so like a month ago I got this weird jaw pain. And kept going. I went to the doctors and got some stuff for it. I might have already talked about it, but had like this TMJ, which is the muscles in your jaws. So they were all like sore and it hurt to like chew for almost a month. But, and then like halfway through that, I got a cold. So then it was like a cold on top of this jaw pain. And like 2 or 3 days ago, I woke up and the jaw pain was gone. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Finally, it's all gone. But then like the head cold caught up with me even more. So, and then Nicole and Corinne both got it. So they were like, they both took a day off, I think on Tuesday or whatever. They just stayed home. So, yeah, well, it must be nice, but
it was something.
Yeah, it's always something. So, how was your Thanksgiving?
Good. We did a very not normal thing because the parents are, as you know, are fixing the floor and trying to get carpet and everything's pulled up. And you went up there with the bros and worked, which I've been now. Recruited to come up there and throw stuff away and take it down to our Maryland dump because Dad can't take his stuff to the dump. So I gotta go up there tomorrow.
Okay.
And getting all the dump stuff and also apparently moving like 4 dressers. So we'll see.
Oh, back into the room. Yeah.
He wants them out so he can take them somewhere and donate them. I would donate them to the dump.
Donate them to the dump.
So yeah, I'll be there tomorrow for a bit. But So we couldn't go there like we normally do. So we just went out and went to Nola's Diner.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, had some just got together and it was fine and it was like a normal day.
Yeah.
I didn't feel too bad because most of the people who work there are some type of foreign, you know, probably not as attached to the holiday as we are. And you know, hopefully they get a bunch of good tips. Yeah. On the day of, so. And, you know, I've worked on Thanksgiving, too, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, if you want to work,
you're going to work.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, no one's forcing them to work on that day, so.
Right. You know, hopefully not.
Yeah, right. You want to be deported back to your country?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
So, but no, it was nice. You know, just had breakfast and then went to the in-laws and had a... Well, you know, they have a pretty big Thanksgiving at their place, so it was nice. Had all the normal Thanksgiving stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. What about you? It was all very snowy. You know, you went up
to
your in-laws.
Yeah, it was great. So we drove up on Wednesday, which is like a pretty, like, you know, it was a breeze. It was an easy drive. Mm-hmm. Got out there You know, like right around like 4 or 4:30 or so. So it was like kind of right before it got dark, which is nice. And so Nicole's parents were there, and then her uncle Howard came over from the coast. So he's about like 2.5 hours away. So he came over as well. So there were the three of them and the three of us. So we had 6 people there, and like had a nice dinner that night, Wednesday night, and then went to bed. And we were expecting they were expecting somewhere between 3 and 10 inches of snow on Thanksgiving, starting anytime between like 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. So then when I woke up at about 6:15 or so, you know, I kind of looked out the window and there was already a couple inches of snow on the ground, which is super cool. You know, I like wake up, like, ooh, yeah. So it was nice. Yeah, it ended up snowing all day and we actually got about 1 foot of snow over that day, which is pretty cool. So had plenty of snow. And, but you know, like they're so prepared for it up there, the roads and stuff. And even where my in-laws are, which is like on Route 100, but this is a little town, back roads and stuff. I mean, you know, it was pretty, the roads were pretty hairy throughout the day, you know, like while it was snowing, but there were like constant, you know, plows going by constantly. And then as soon as, you know, like as soon as the next morning came, like the roads were completely clear, you know, they hadn't cleared everything. So everything was, you know, ready to be drivable and all. So it was nice, but you know, we were all there. No one was going anywhere on Thanksgiving Day. So, you know, it didn't matter. It snowed, so it was nice. We all were like, it was a perfect day to get like, you know, like snowed in because we weren't going anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. And then the next day on Friday, we ended up, Friday we went, Nicole and I went to, this, woolen mill, and it's about 2 hours and 45 minutes away from my in-laws, but you know, it's like 6 hours closer than it is to us here in Maryland. So we wanted to go. They do like natural wool material and stuff, you know, out of like natural yarn and all. So we wanted to go and check it out because it's one of the places that that supplies the different reenactment groups and the group that we're in, the Njordos Wanderers, you know, using like Viking materials would be like natural wools and stuff. So it's something that they would actually have. So we went over and let the group know that we were going to be there. So we had a couple people ask us to pick up some stuff, and we picked up some stuff from us and got a bunch of samples and talked to the guy that owned the place for a while. It was really cool just hearing him, like, you know, hearing his expertise on just the production of wool, you know, like, and, you know, and some things are like some synthetics and wools and some nylon and wool. And they had like rabbit, you know, like, what's that? You know, whatever cashmere, you know, that's rabbit fur, you know, so it's like all the different things. And how he was talking to us about his manufacturers in Mexico and getting wool from them and, you know, all the different weaves and stuff and the other reenactment groups that he works with. Oh, nice. He works with like, you know, people that do like Revolutionary War reenactment because they use a lot of wool. And then, he also works with, he said he worked with a guy one time that was replicating a bunch of like old, baseball jerseys. So like all this like you know, natural wool baseball jerseys and stuff and like white with blue pinstripes and all. So it was really cool, like, because at first it felt a little awkward being like, yeah, we're like, you know, we do like a Viking reenactment thing. And but then he was like, oh yeah, no, you know, he was like telling us about all the other groups that he works with, because, you know, that's like most people want that natural stuff. And so if you're actually like trying to put some actual research and like wearing the real thing and showing like, you know, like teaching about how it would have actually been from whatever the time period reenacting, you know, you want to get the actual right stuff. So that was cool. So we drove over, mid morning, and then on our way back from the woolen mill, we were expecting a little bit of snow that night. So we were heading back, and probably when we were about an hour or so away from, from my in-laws, it started to snow a little bit, and then it got heavier and heavier, and it was like the heaviest snow that I've ever driven in. It was crazy. It was like huge flakes coming down so fast. It was probably only about like the last 20 minutes or so of the drive where, it actually like started to lay on the roads again because it had kind of warmed up a little bit throughout the day.
Yeah.
But it was like laying enough on the roads that it was starting to like, you know, I was being extra careful when everyone's driving really slow because we, for one, we couldn't see, but then it was also just, you know, starting to lay on the road. So I was like starting to get a little worried, like, well, like I just filled up gas. So if I do have to pull over somewhere and just wait, like I could wait because it's not supposed to, it wasn't supposed to snow that long, just like a couple hours. So, and not that much accumulation, but we went up and down a couple hills and up in the all wheel drive of the Nissan Rogue did its job and we got back without having to, you know, stop anywhere. Pulled in just in time because then, like, we checked the local news, like, a few hours later. And there was, like, a few of the roads that we had driven on were all just, like, blocked up. People were just parked because they couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't, like, get enough traction. It was just, like, gridlock everywhere until the snow stopped and people were able to, like, get out. But it was a little hairy. A little hairy there for a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we got home and then it was nice. Had a nice like dinner the second night and then drove back. We actually went out to a Chinese and I guess Korean restaurant Saturday midday and then drove home. Got home Saturday evening, so it was not bad. Then we had the day off on Sunday and then went back to work on Monday.
Nice.
Always nice to get home a day early, so I don't have to spend, like, you know, the day before you have to go back to work all day just driving, and then you get back, and you go to bed, and you go to work right away. It's like, I always need that one day of back at home just to relax.
Right.
Like a vacation from the vacation.
For sure.
Yeah.
So,
But, it was good.
So, yeah, we had a little technical difficulty there, and while you were trying to fix your computer, I was just... It is kind of fun to go through the Library of Congress and just look through their old images and stuff. So, because now I'm looking up Axe stuff.
Yeah, right.
So, of all these old loggers and, like, these beautiful... and you can download the full HD images, you know, which I'm constantly bitching about and looking for, you know?
Online. Right.
I'm like, why is everything so small? I can't get anything. So, I'm, like, downloading all these great lumberjack and logging and old...
Nice.
So, it's been really fun. I was... searching through all these great old images and old people, you know, stuff from the early 1900s and 30s and 40s and, like, people grinding their axes and sharpening them. And you can see all the old tools. It's really cool. And I'm just trying to figure out what I can use. I mean, this all is free.
Yeah.
You know, you can use this. But I'm trying to find, like, then I got to look some videos and some more up-to-date stuff just to have a little bit in there.
Right.
Because I do feel like there's so many interesting old real photos and real footage and, like, documents that you can find, like old Kelly Perfect pamphlets and stuff. Those are what you want to see, like, if while we're talking about it.
Right.
That should be what's paired with it, not just AI generated stuff or just, like, general... Yeah. BS. It like they're really cool images, really interesting
Images historical that
are available and really cool stuff. So you gotta put that in there without, you know, making it too boring. But honestly, if you're clicking on, like, a why our axe is awesome video, you probably
you're probably cool happy to watch school, that, like,
looking at old footage of people using axes and the history of axes and paintings of Vikings with axes and you know, the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, it's something, you know, and when you sent me that message earlier, it was something about, like, you know, like, why do men love axes? You know, like, that's funny, why do men love axes? You know? Right. And it's something about, like, having this tool that's sharp and heavy and you can swing it, and it's, like, cutting and big chips. And
it's, you know, it's a connection to adventure and, like, open possibilities.
Right, yeah.
Because we know the history of, I mean, all the adventurers were bringing an axe along. You can defend yourself. You can build yourself a home. You can heat your home. You can kill things with it. I mean, it's like, it is, if you have one tool, I mean, that's it.
Right.
Yeah. There is no really better tool.
Right.
Which we should put all this in the documentary. But you know what I mean? Like, what's one thing you can do? I mean, a bow is good for hunting.
Right.
That's it.
But you can't build a house with a bow.
You can't defend that house.
A knife.
It's everything all in one. It is the ultimate tool.
Yeah, and it's like the first tool. You know, like axes, like hand axes were the first tool. You know, something to chop with. It's sharp.
And
like
we have all the, you know, especially American history with Native Americans and different pioneers and different logging people and hunting people going out to the wilderness and then you know there's
westward expansion and the West Coast and the giant trees and stuff.
Even in our forefather Abraham Lincoln cutting down this and doing that and the Washington like the army making their own log cabins, like the whole Washington army, you know, surviving through the winter because they all made log cabins. It's such a it's like ingrained in us.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and that history is just so interesting. Like, you know, it's something that I've been interested in for years and, you know, like, why are axe shaped the way they are and, you know, the people and the history of it and the companies that have gone through, you know, big booms and then lost everything because, you know, it kind of went in and out of fashion over the years, but now there's, like, a resurgence of craftsmen, like, making tools and axes and using axes and, yeah, it's... That's an interesting and part of our history.
Now you got YouTubers spending $70 for just the handle. I mean, it's nuts.
Osage Orange handle.
Oh, sorry. Respect.
YouTubers. I was an axe junkie long before I was a YouTuber.
But yeah, anyway, I didn't mean to get back onto it. I was just looking through some images.
Yeah.
Like, they're so nice. And
well, I was... I was like talking away, telling the story about like driving home in the snow, and then I realized that you're gone, and I had been like talking for like 3 minutes or something, 4 minutes.
You know, like he is captivated.
He's just so ingrained. There's like no noise or anything. And so I was like trying to figure out what was going on. I realized my internet, it would say it was working, but it wasn't really working, and I couldn't get things to load. And so then I was like, went out in the living room, and I was like, I asked Nicole, I was like, is your internet working? And she was like, yeah, sorry, Corinne, like jumped on and used your, she was on your Wi-Fi and trying to use her computer and download something. And I was like, oh,
drop
man.
It
I was like, you killed the whole, like, you killed the podcast. You've killed my computer. Cause then the computer was not running well. And so I had to like close out everything and shut everything down. And fortunately, I was able to locally download the portion of the recording that we already had, you know. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, we have everything leading up to that, which I think we do. Cast has never done us wrong. It's always captured something.
I think you need to Starlink it soon.
Yeah, I know I could, but you know it's not cheap.
It's not that expensive, though.
Well, it's more expensive than I have money to spend. But yeah, we'll see at some point. But yeah. But we're back, and it was wild. Just it was weird that my computer was like acting funky. Like it was taking a while to load back up. Like because of the weird internet thing, it was like I don't know what's happening. It, like I couldn't see all the little icons at the bottom of my screen. You know, like on a PC is like all the tabs, and then your internet bar and your sound, like all the little icons that share. Like all, none of those are showing up. And
maybe it's just like, some. Laptops are so ingrained in like having to be online now with different stuff and how they work. It's really annoying.
Right,
So let's talk a little bit about some videos we did because we haven't talked since the
wooden sword video came out.
So the wooden sword, we did cheap medieval longsword. Everyone can make a wooden sword.
An
easy guide or whatever we called it.
Because it was, you know, the idea was that we had had a lot of people that watched the wooden sword video.
That everyone should make a wooden sword video.
Right, yeah. And, you know, we got a lot of great comments. We got a lot of good feedback on it. But we also got a lot of feedback that people, even people commenting positively would, you know, comment like, you know, this is great. And like, I wish I had a shop like yours so I could do this too, you know? So it was like, there were some people who were like, yeah, it's really easy. Everyone should make a sword with, you know, thousands of dollars worth of shop equipment. Right. So I was like, oh yeah, okay. I understand. You know, I get it. But even in the video, like we did talk about that. We're like, yeah, you can, I'm going to do it with this, but you could do it with this other thing, you know, like, so everything we suggested was like, yeah, you could do it with a rasp and you could do it with a palm sander and a belt grinder. You know, I'm going to use a 2x72 belt grinder because that's what I have, you know.
Right. So,
but I think we were just inspired because people did watch it and commented on it. So we're like, well, that's great. We'll like, you know, we'll run with that popularity and make another video of just making it with the cheapest tools possible, or at least, you know, the relatively cheapest tools. So things that, you know, you could spend less than $50, less than probably $30 to make the sword, you know? Yeah, but that was fun. Like, and it was funny because we were like talking about how to do it. You know, it's like, okay, what do we do? Like, do we use the cheapest wood? Does that matter? Like, are people going to be like, oh, you're using the fancy wood, your fancy scrap wood in your fancy shop? You know, like, okay, do we use the really cheap wood? Do we have to use, like, we can't use the vise because then people don't have a vise? So it was like, it got a little bit over the top. You know, at some points, I was like, yeah, but we could still use some of this stuff. It will make a better final thing.
My angle was keep thinking like we give people no excuse to complain about
that. Right, exactly.
Like, oh yeah, well, you got that, but of course you got just, you know, just nice hickory laying around. Like, I don't have anything in my house. Or of course you have this, but I mean, we almost didn't want to use a jigsaw, so that's as far as we almost took it that far.
Right.
And the vice thing I think was important because a lot of people don't have a vice.
Yeah,
we're starting out, and you just have a table. If you're lucky enough to have a table that, no one's going to yell at you about, you know, clamping to.
Right, and that's when we got to the point where we're like, okay, well, you know, you have to have these bare minimum things to make this. If you're gonna try to make a sword, which everyone can, you have to have a table to clamp to. You have to have some clamps.
There was a couple, definitely a couple of those. Okay, now you're gonna need clamps, and now you're gonna need a jigsaw. Is this okay? And I made a little bit of a point showing you clamping each time,
right?
Because there is a little bit of how am I going to clamp this if I want to put this here? How am I going to clamp an uneven surface? What? How am I going to do this if I'm like? There's a little bit of figuring if you don't do it a lot. And even when you do, you know, you're kind of like looking, turning around, spinning it.
Yeah.
Maybe here on the corner. And then people can say, oh, he's doing it on the corner. Oh, he's doing it here. Oh, he's laying it down. So I wanted to show that, even though I was really trying to, because it started out as a 22-minute video, which normally is fine for us, which actually is a pretty fast video for us.
Right, right.
But then I went back to look at the original. And I remember thinking, I remember us saying, like, okay, this one's really fast.
Right.
Like, this one really flies, and it's nice, and it's got a good, really good fast pace to it. Mm-hmm. You didn't need a long time, because we can, a lot of the wood, cutting wood off is self-explanatory. There's not a million steps to do it. You can see.
Right. Yeah.
So then I chopped off another 4 minutes off of the video, just because just I wanted to have it about the same.
Yeah.
Another thing, like, oh, no, let's not make it even longer and more. It's just like, it's the same length as the other one. It's close to it. Like, everything is close to it. It's just a newer version with less tools. But I think it was nice. Like, there was maybe a little bit. There was definitely, I mean, like I said, there's another 4 minutes I could have put in. It would have been fine and paced fine. But the first one was like 15 minutes and this one's like 18. So was even more. But then I had to stop myself. I was like, well, let's leave. The important stuff is the important stuff.
Yeah, right. And, like, in all honesty, like, I enjoyed making that sword, you know, that way by hand with rasps and jigsaw and stuff just as much. I mean, trying to figure out, like, how to clamp it and then how to cut things and how to shape them, right? Like, there's a reason why I have all these other tools is because I do these type of things, these shaping material, wood and metal all the time. And so I want to use.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up.
Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
You know, ideally the best tool that it is, that I have, the quickest and most efficient way to make these and, you know, shape things, which is the bigger belt grinders, and drill presses and bandsaws and, you know, but, you know, the same reason why I really enjoy making axe handles and using a rasp to shape things and, you know, kind of looking at it and taking my time is because there's some, like, there's like a level of elegance and a level of, you know, like personal connection to the piece, that when you take your time and you sand it off and you rasp things off, like there's a nice kind of connection to that piece. So that was kind of, it was fun. And, you know, like, rasping pine with a Shinto rasp takes like no time at all. It really is fast. So, you know, like just as fast as probably it would have taken me if I did it all by hand on the grinder, you know, or, you know, the grinder rather than by
hand.
Yeah.
It's so. Like a half an hour. You were done.
Right.
Yeah, all the blade, the diamond stuff. It was nice, and I found a couple songs that I forgot that I recorded, which is nice, like that. Like that. That one was that song I'd recorded on the 12-string. I'd done a bunch of stuff on the 12-string another video, and that 12-string always sounds great. You can play anything that would sound a little plain on a 6-string on a 12, right, and it really fills it out. Really, yeah, it's like,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
that nice
full
and
sound. Yeah,
so ding, 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 just a simple couple chords, just picked differently. And right, I found that song. Like, oh, I'd actually finished one, because usually it's just like little bits and bobs I wanted to do for, you know, whatever old video it is. So that was a, I don't know where the original, maybe I never used it, but so a fresh song in the new, in the new video for the time nice lapse, which is like perfect, like a, you know, a nice speedy little song, and it's on Instagram.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I forget, someone commented on that. They really enjoyed
it. Oh yeah. Yeah.
The like using the fast pace, but with the slower sound effects. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the song specifically, but yeah, showing the two things together.
Yeah,
I always like that. I like that when I see that in other people's videos too, you know. It's like, yeah, everything's sped up, but it doesn't have to sound sped up. You know, like you still get the overlay of the actual sound, yeah, and some music.
I think
and
that's
stuff,
a good, I mean, good. It's sometimes it's interesting. It's like funny, yeah, just to watch things go by real quick and hear the and the like chipmunk voice. Yeah. Like it's cool. But right, I also think it's nice to just hear what they're doing. It gives you a little bit more maybe useful information, maybe,
right,
yeah, about what's going on. You can,
right, you see the speed of it, you see what they're
you
doing,
you can hear the speed of it,
but, right,
even if it's really fast.
Yeah. I did like the using the half round rasps to do the plunge lines. That was kind of a fun thing.
That was it worked perfect.
I didn't plan ahead, but yeah, that was really nice
because they're done. Nice. Once you put it in there, it's like, oh, that bit's done.
Yeah,
and then it's like from there,
and clean, and
from there on out to the tip is like ready to go.
Right. Yep. And then just work away at it. Yeah. It was fun, and you know, like doing the handle wrap, doing the guard, like staining it and all that stuff is all like the standard stuff. So it wasn't like it was gonna take a ton more time anyway, but you know, kind of clamping the guard and shaping the guard, that was a little tricky. But again, yeah, that's that, like, you know, not having that, the other tools, like I'm just used to holding all those things in my hand and then shaping them on the grinder. So right, not being able to do that, I have to, like, if I'm using a rasp, you know, I kind of need two hands on the rasp to really get some purchase on it. And so then like trying to shape it with holding it with one hand, or then me clamping it down and doing it. So it's definitely not, you know, it's not as easy, which is the reason why I have all these other tools, but it was definitely doable. It wasn't like it took us forever, you know. It was like maybe a hour and a half long build in the end, you know, start to finish. So
Yeah, no, it's cool. I think the next wooden thing you should do is either an axe or a specific item from, you know, screen or fantasy, like Sting or something, you know, that which you kind of have a small version of already.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's
Leaf Blade.
Another cool wooden sword, but also brings some, you know, interest from another, like,
right.
You know, Lord of the Rings or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Or like a samurai sword or something. Right. It'd be kind of fun, you know.
Yeah. But yeah. So that one is good. And then we have the Maker Camp video, which is actually doing well.
Oh,
it's getting like 1,000 views a day, which is really good for us nowadays.
Yeah, and for a video like that too, like a tour video, that's not really a making thing. Like, I think my call to action on the people on Instagram, I was like, all right, there's 10,000 of you out there, and I know you all love making things. Like you, all, like 10,000 followers that we have, you know, on the Art of Craftsmanship on Instagram, and like, go check this video out. You know, like, you all love Maker Camp. I love Maker Camp. You know, like, check it out. This is a fun tour, you know? And it's done really well. And I was like, huh, that's fun. Like, I wonder if that actually worked.
Right. It's gotten a good amount of views on kind of a specific thing. So who knew? Even though I'll say it's a really good comprehensive video, but I got slightly annoyed by the way you said a certain thing, Dustin. But this is also an editor's thing. Then this is why I pick on you when we're shooting. I don't pick on you, but I go like, hey, try this again without that. Try this again without that.
Yeah, right, right. Because
I'm hearing the things over and over. And when it's all compacted, it just seems repetitive, right?
Right.
So your voice for like pointing someone out was like, and here's la la la, and this is da da da, and here's la la la. It was, I was like,
and
I was like, oh, don't do it again. And you're like, and here's Patty, and here's this, and there's na na. It was very like, I mean, it worked. It was fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, don't do that voice again. And then you'd be like, and here's this person. But it wasn't, you know, it was fine, and we got a good long video of the whole place. You really get a good feeling, and that's always what I'm looking for. We've talked about them before, right, and then why we wanted to do those type of videos. I always like when I'm about to go somewhere, that's like what I'm looking for.
Right.
Like, what's it like? I wish someone was just kind of walking around, and that camera and you talking about stuff is perfect because you know the people and you know where the things are. And
right. Yeah.
There was one, what's his name from Little Town Forge?
Tiny Town Forge. Shoot.
I know, I shouldn't have made you try to make a name, but I know. We've talked to him a few times. He's always been around.
It's not Noah. What is it? No.
But anyway, he has a table, and you were showing, you were like looking through, and he's like, He's like, oh man, those knives are shit, aren't they?
Yeah, like,
those are so shitty. He was just, you know, being funny and doing, you know, saw a camera, so he's pitching, and it was great.
Silas.
I had to decide. Do you leave that in? But
right.
We really have no videos with cursing on them. Like, it is pretty clean. And I don't want any other reason for YouTube to be like, is there vulgarity, blah, blah, blah? Is there this and that?
Right.
There's a bunch of weird rules against that stuff.
They're right.
It's like a, you know, so I, yeah, I did some fancy editing there where you're like, he's like, oh man, whose crap is it? He says something kind of not as bad first.
Oh,
you go,
right, yeah.
And, you go, and then you like, there's like a little breath and you like say, all right, and you move along. So it took a bit actually to fill in that gap where it doesn't, and when there's no music or anything over it, it's a little bit harder.
Right.
Because everyone's listening. But now if you go and if you watch it, he did say like, oh, what? It's such shit. And you kind of laugh and I cut all that out. It's just kind of, there's background noise. It doesn't seem like anyone said anything, which I was very proud of. So if you look back on that, I cut his The cursing out.
the cursing part out, and you left in the second one or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Everything else was fine. It's you know, in reality, it's all fine. But I just didn't. I was like, yeah, I'll figure out a way to... I had to do some fancy audio work.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was fun, like, you know, as I was walking around... And I'm sure you saw it in the, like, in the actual video. I'd be like, I'd walk in and I'd see someone. And I'd kind of show them what there's there. But then if they wanted to talk, I'd turn off the camera, mm-hmm. you know, or I'd like point mm-hmm. it down for a second. Then I'd just turn it off. We'd chat for a second. Then I'd turn it back on and keep walking. Right. Cause like the video wasn't really about those conversations, at least not a lot, you know, it was just like, it was just the tour showing everyone who's there, me talking about them and going along. So I would be like, you know, like when I walked into the Makers for Jesse booth, you know, I kind of talked to that guy for a minute and then I turned the camera off and then we talked further for like another like 5 or 6 minutes, right. you know, before moving on. And so and he saw, obviously he saw me walking with the camera. So he was talking it up about, you know, to the camera. Like he was like, right. Oh, this is the da da da, check out these things. And yeah.
Yeah, right. We didn't necessarily. I think that's how it should be done. And especially to walk in on people. I mean, and nowadays, though, in that event, people don't mind. They know if they don't want to be on something or if they don't want to be content, they just won't. You know, they'll either won't talk to you right then because they say, oh, he's doing something and I don't want to be in it.
Right.
Or if they start chatting you up with a camera in your hand, though, it's like fair game.
Yeah.
And they probably want to be on it then, you know?
Right,
but,
yeah.
But just to go like, I'm going to kind of put the camera down, because you're not a vlogger, you know?
Right.
So you kind of, hey, let's just talk. And then,
yeah, it'd be different if turned around the camera and held it up so we could see both of us, like, hey, this is blah, 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 then talk. Then they understand they're, like, on camera, but not just me just holding a camera in front of them, you know?
Yeah, but anyway, so, yeah, cool video. It's getting some views. People are watching it, and it's a... What's the title? Heart of the Maker? The Heart of Making, which is a nice title. And I think it's a fair title. It's a great thing, a great event. I wish I've had some health stuff. So my left foot is kind of messed up. So that was really hurting me that one night on Saturday night, which I wish I could have. But it just kept hurting more and more, I went to bed early that one night, mm-hmm. and then I went home on Sunday. But I wish I could have done more. But I still had a lot of those great I think if you're doing it right, and you know, you having some drinks with people at night, you end up in a couple really good conversations with some people. Yeah. You kind of post up for like an hour with someone, you know, and you just have a real good couple beers in you. Everyone's feeling good. And then you connect with some stuff. It's not necessarily about business. It's not about whatever. Yeah. It's just you have these great, good core memories about being together with a lot of like-minded people. And maybe that's what we should show one time is like the night. Part of it, you know, like, hey, party at Maker Camp. That's all it is. It's supposed to be why I'm fun. It'd be kind of cool.
The only like problem with that is like, that's when we want to party, you know, it's like, we can get footage of it. You know, we can get like 10 or 15 minutes of that footage.
Maybe have to be one of those focus things. We get general footage and then we have like a game to play with each person or three questions to ask people. And that's kind of fun because you're running around. Hey, what's up, man? Hey, do this real quick. And, you know, what do you think about this, and that? And then laugh. Ha ha, next person, you know.
Right.
And you do that for 30 minutes.
Right.
And then we pack up and continue on. But anyway. So
It could also be like, you know, just a part of the thing. You know, it's like Maker Camp during the day and then Maker Camp at night. You know, like the super long lines waiting for Mark Adams pictures and the people around the fires and, you know, playing random games and, you know, the karaoke and like all that stuff. That's just like fun stuff that could be a part of the video because that's a huge part of what Maker Camp is that like after hours when everyone's just there at that point, you know, everyone's just hanging out and talking and sitting around the fire and around tables. And, you know, you just, like you said, you kind of just post up and get into different conversations. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. I made this awesome knife and so I was like, what was it? This was maybe two weekends ago, I was in my shop. I think it was like right maybe before we started the sword video, or maybe it was like right around that time, because I was kind of cleaning my shop and I found an old file knife that I had shaped, that I'd forged and shaped. Mm-hmm. So it was like basically a straight, you know, straight tang knife with just a standard, like, kind of drop point, you know, normal belly blade, like, you know, outdoor knife.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of looking at it and I was like, I wonder if that'd be kind of cool if I could like just change that shape a little bit and to make it more of the Puko shape. So like just evenly tapered from the very end of the handle all the way down to then the Ricasso and all the way out to the tip. And with a lot of like the Puko style knives, they have that straight spine. So the tip of the knife, you know, all the way up into the Ricasso and the handle, it's all like straight. Sometimes it curves, but, and then just like it tapers out. And then I also have the rhombic, grind, which is that like you have the bevel that goes maybe 3/4 of the way down to the blade, and then from that center line the bevel goes and then tapers up to the top, so not like all the way, but it goes up with like a flat spine, but it tapers up and tapers down, so you get this rhombus shape. Mm-hmm. And so I had that like idea in mind. I had the shape of the knife ground before I went up to Vermont for Thanksgiving. Then I was up in Vermont and I was like had it on my mind. So I woke up and I drew the shape in my sketchbook and I was like, I think it's about this size. And I knew it was about 7 inches or so. Right. So kind of like a 3-inch blade and a 4-inch handle. And so I drew it out and then came home. And, when I got home, I like grabbed the blank, cause I had shaped the file into the profile, but I hadn't actually ground the bubbles and stuff. So then I like brought the blade over to my sketchbook and laid it on top of it. And it was like exactly the right profile, just like that I had drawn from my memory, you know, kind of the understanding of the shape and the geometry of it, which is fun. So then I went down to my shop and I ground in the bevels and kind of smoothed out the edges and stuff. And, just came away with this like super elegant, shaped, you know, all steel blade, which I'm super excited about. So I have it here in front of me. I haven't done the final grinding. I did all the initial grinding and then the heat treating. And so it's all like all blackened right now, which is pretty sweet. Mm. but I'll grind the edge on it. And then I was thinking it'd be really cool because it's relatively short, you know, it's like 7 inches in overall. I could probably make a like a pocket, that's like handle and blade, you know, so right. That's like a standard pocket knife opened up, you know, maybe is around that size, is somewhere between like 6 and 7 inches. So I was thinking it'd be kind of cool to make a in pocket sheath with like a pocket clip. So it would like sit like flat because it's a flat knife, you know, made so it could like sit kind of inside your pocket.
Also, it doesn't have a wood handle.
It does not have a wood handle. No, it's just all metal. And then it has a hole at the end of the handle to put in like a little leather lanyard or something with a bead or something on it, you know, just to help just give you something to kind of grip onto. But I thought it'd be kind of fun to make kind of an in-pocket sheath with a pocket clip on the outside of it, you know, just like a flat leather sheath. So it's just, I don't know, I've just been kind of like fondling it for the last few days. Just like hanging out with it and just like holding it up and looking at the shape, and it's just like it's so pretty, so elegant.
What do you think really about like thin, really thin scales? Only for if you were to sell it,
right?
It helps because I've had I think a lot of people know, but I've realized that the handle on the knife a lot of times is, you know, the big seller.
Right.
Because people see the really cool whatever scales. Right. You know, wood, because people or, do yeah, the like wood mix with that and this. Yeah. And it's always shined up to like a glossy, you know, like it's like it looks like a piece of plastic. Because if you could do really thin scales and then you could do all those, you know, you could do the different colors and different stuff for people to like, oh, I got this one. This one's, you know, you just... Then you don't have to make your own scales for that. That's when you source other people's really cool, you know, mixed media scales. Like, cool, it's got this and that, and then it's got blue, like, a thing going through it, and like, oh, this one has that. But with that, it would only be, you know, like a, you know, less than a quarter inch on either side. So it still slides in nice, but it gives you a little.
Yeah. And that I could actually use, like, cause this one's made out of a, like a, almost a quarter inch thick file, right? So it's a thick file, which is why I like it the way it is, because it still gives you some meat in the handle, because it's not super thin. It's not just like a, you know, like a eighth of a 16th or so of a blade. So it actually has some thickness to it, but it would be slim enough to like fit inside your pocket, which I think would be really nice. But I could also use thinner files, because you know, a quarter inch is a pretty thick file. So I could use like 3/16ths or 1/8 inch files, and then put, you know, I have 16th inch material I could do so on the
whole
side.
Right, the whole thing's still under a half an inch or whatever close to it. And it slides in nice, and you could even, you wouldn't have, it depends on what's easier. You could take the scales all the way out to the edge of the metal, or kind of on the inside and leave a small bit of metal around it.
Right.
An idea.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Setting real thin scales with really interesting, because you still have the simplicity of the design, but with flash and color, which people, I think, a lot of times buy stuff. Like with like Jeff Fader knives. He makes a knife, and he makes a nice knife, but he's not blacksmithing it. He's taking blanks.
Yeah, he's grinding them down. Using stock
people,
removal.
People like the shape, but they love the color of the handles. It's all about the handles.
Right, yeah, and each year he has a different line of handles and stuff and puts
the colors. Color, I mean, that's what people like, right? Because that immediately attaches their brain to something else that they love. Right. Not only do they love the knife, they love John Deere green, or they like red, white, and blue, or they like a purple because of their team, or, you know, it's all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. I think one of the things I like about this and is the, like, with the majority of rhombic style ground pukos that you see, the blade, there's no like plunge line. So the blade, all that those grinds go directly into some type of ricasso that goes into the handle, or it's just like sunk right into the handle. So that transition goes directly into the handle. So there's no, like I said, there's no ricasso, no plunge line, or no plunge line area. And that's one of the things that's kind of cool about this blade that I've ground, is that I've ground it to look like that, but it's all one piece of metal, right? So like the blade, the transition between the handle and the blade is just where those bevels begin, top to bottom, and they're nice and even and clean. So it has that look and feel of, you know, a hidden tang Puko style knife that this is like kind of, you know, styled after, but it's all one piece of metal. That's kind of fun too. So like, I mean, but I don't think that would be completely lost if I also then add on some type of thin colored scales or something like, you know, I think that it would still come through as that same type of thing.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's really the thing I think that I like the most about it, is that like really clean transition from handle to blade, but it's all metal. You know, it's all just the one thing.
Yeah.
It's not a hidden tang inside. But it's just it's a fun little shape, and then it was fun to be able to sit it down next to the drawing and have it be basically exactly like the drawing at the end of the little reel that I put together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Good stuff. All right, well, we look forward to seeing more of that.
Yeah, I have a event coming up here, a hammer-in, that's it's more of just like a get-together with some of my friends. So they're with the Wanderers group that I do the Viking reenactment. There are a couple guys who do different type of steel removal, and girls in our group. So they're going to be actually coming over to my place the weekend after Christmas. I think it's the 28th, which is a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have a little hammer in. So it might be like, you know, some like 8 or 10 people. And we're
going to
forge a bunch of stuff. It's the Saturday after Christmas. So, yeah, if you want to, if you're going to be around.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Well, we just planned it today.
I got to hear about it on here. I mean, I also spring video ideas on you during the podcast.
No, I was chatting with the group. We have a Discord that the group's on, and so they're all chatting back and forth, and Nicole has told me, we've talked multiple times at events where like people want to get together and do some like forging, because we want to like work and forge some ideas out together of like, you know, hinges or something that we would have seen in some, you know, like a historical record or like a grave dig or something.
Will you be in dress?
No, we won't be.
I was going to say, if I show up looking like a future human, will I be shunned?
You should show up in Viking gear, like movie Viking gear.
That'd be funny.
I'm here to defend your skull.
Like, oh, really? Come on, guys.
Like, really? Who invited
now
this guy?
Now I feel silly.
No, but it's, yeah, because it's just us. Like, we just wanted to forge some stuff out. So a couple people are going to come over and hanging out for the day, probably, you know, like a good long day, like a 9 to 5 or something, and we'll have dinner together in the evening and then people will head home. So it'll be fun. It's just I'm excited to have, like, you know, just a foraging day where we're trying different things. And you know, one of the guys, one of the newer members of the group, Joel, he's a, you know, a hobbyist blacksmith as well, has done a bunch and, you know, worked under a different guy and stuff. And then Craig, who's the leader of the group, he's done a lot of like cold work. So he does like copper and silver and stuff, you know, so like forging and shaping those type things, for smaller things like pendants and jewelry and things. He does a lot of stuff like that and belts and things, but it would just be kind of fun to have different people with different skill sets all kind of together and working and hanging out and forging some stuff out. So that'll be
fun.
Who's
bringing the mead?
Yeah, right, exactly. So we'll have a good time with food and drinks and, you know, get some footage of it and stuff. I'll try to set up some things and get some footage just to add out if you can't come, but I thought that'd be fun.
Well, right now I don't have anything on the schedule, so maybe...
Cool. Yeah, it's not written in stone yet. That was kind of like, I was driving home today and there's a Discord page that they're all talking on, and then I like looked down at my phone and I saw a message pop up, you know, like a notification that said, hey Dustin, by like one of the people that was in the conversation. So they were like trying to get my attention. They're like,
oh yeah,
everybody ping Dustin so he understands, because I get the notifications on my phone when messages come up. So and I looked on and they were like, we're trying to figure out, because Nicole has told me a couple times, like, you got to figure out a day because people want to do this hammering. So like, let's propose some days. So I was like, all right. And at the same time, you're sending me messages about the like idea to shoot videos of like the history of Axis stuff. So I'm like, all these people are like, and I'm driving home, you know, after work, I got to pick up Corinne. I'm like, I can only do so much at one time.
Well, all you got to say to me is, yeah, sounds cool.
I know. Yeah. That was the thing. I was like, oh yeah, right on. That sounds awesome. We'll talk about it later. Yeah. That was cool.
All right. Cool. Recommendations?
Yeah. I have been following this guy and also started watching a couple of his YouTube videos. And I feel like I may have mentioned him before, but his name is Francis McCaffrey, and his Instagram is McCaffrey Crafts. He's an Irish guy, and he makes... Irish shillelaghs and walking sticks and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's always like collecting wood from hedgerows, you know, it's like blackthorn, which is the traditional shillelagh, but they also do like holly and, you know, other woods, hardwoods and stuff, oak and all. But it's, he's kind of fun. He's just showing what he does all the time. It's very, like not, you know, very informal. And then he'll do videos, and he's definitely not like he's not a natural, he's not great on camera. He's not bad on camera, but he's like, he kind of repeats the same things over and over again. And like I would, if you weren't there to tell me to stop saying, all right, you know, like it's just him set up in front and he's just filming. And sometimes the filming is not like right on what he's doing, but he's trying and like, but he's just always doing it. Like, it's super cool. He's just passionate about it.
It's
and,
your future without me.
Right, exactly. This is what it'll happen.
This is what you'd look like, Dustin.
It's funny though. I notice it now. I notice it in videos, and I notice it when I'm saying things as well, because we've talked about it so often. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna say that thing. But yeah, his on Instagram, it's McCaffrey Crafts, and Francis McCaffrey is just awesome, you know, dude that's been doing you know, shillelagh making in Ireland for a bunch of years. And he said, I was watching a video of him recently talking about just some of the questions he gets and some of the history of the blackthorn walking sticks and shillelaghs. And he said there was like You know, in the 70s and 80s, like, people were still making them, but it was mostly for, like, tourist trade. And then, you know, it kind of slowed down in the 90s and, you know, early 2000s. But then with the Gangs of New York, when that movie came out with Monk and his, like, his stick, you know, on his club in Gangs in New York. Once that happened and that movie came out, it became super popular again. People started looking for it and they wanted to get, like, fighting sticks and shillelaghs, and then this, like, the history of the Irish, you know, using the shillelagh as a fighting stick, like, and the type of fighting they would do, like, came back into fashion. People, like, you know, practice it, like, martial arts and stuff now and all, so.
It's amazing what a movie can do, a popular movie can do to a whole, like, a whole industry. There was funny, just real quick, there's, you ever see Sideways? It's the wine movie. It's got, like, what's his name?
I have not seen it. I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it.
What's his name?
Roger Gere.
No.
Sideways.
What's the actor? He was in a lot of stuff.
Narrow it down for me.
Hang on, look him up real quick.
Sideways, is it?
Paul Giamatti.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So I love Paul Giamatti. And there's...
Yeah, yeah.
I saw an interview with them and with, the, like, wine industry people. And there's this funny scene where he's like, he doesn't want to go into dinner. And the other guy, they're like, coming into dinner. And they don't want to have dinner with these people. And they're like, yeah, oh, just come in, please. He's like, all right, fine, I'll come in. And he says, if anyone orders Merlot, I'm leaving. He's like, fine. And he goes, I'm not drinking any fucking Merlot. Like, he makes this weird point about Merlot. And apparently, the directors and everyone just kind of was like, it sounds funniest for some reason. Whatever, Merlot was the one they picked. Right. Not drinking any fucking Merlot. Right? He's like screaming it. And after that movie came out, sales of Merlot went down globally by like 20%.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Off of just a, this is the funniest wine name to say. Because in the movie, he's like a wine snob guy who everyone, you know, you kind of, he knows everything about wine.
Right.
So him yelling, I'm not going to drink any Merlot, is like, killed the Merlot industry for like 10 years.
That's crazy.
Right. So, but then they did say a positive was a lot of these other wines that had gone out of fashion came back in fashion because they had a chance to, you know, because Merlot was out.
Yeah.
So it was a bunch, I don't know what it was, but, you know, they were selling more of everything Merlot. Else all of a sudden.
That's great. Funny. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's like, what's that? Life imitates, you know, whatever that is. Like, life art imitates life. Life imitates art.
So. Right.
All right, what do you got?
I recommended him maybe last week, but a specific... a specific video he put out, which I didn't realize he put out a whole series of. The guy, Zorpazorp, like I said, he does, he makes all his miniatures, and like he does board gaming stuff, but he did a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff, but he does huge versions of it,
right?
And he moved to New Zealand, and he has all those, like, the interest to her videos, to his videos are at the places, you know, like, really cool. Great. It's as cool as it gets. And then, but he did a series about a year ago. I think this one's called Why You'll Never See a Movie Like This Again. And it's about the Lord of the Rings series, but I didn't realize that he had made connections with the Weta Workshop guys. So he goes and talks to Richard Taylor and all those guys. And he just goes and interviews him about the movies, and they're just really good. He has a whole series of him talking to those guys, all those artists, about the stuff we all kind of know and love, and they're really good. So, and that may have sparked a little bit of mind going, like, oh, we can, like, he wasn't showing him building anything. He was just describing something he likes.
Right.
But he has interviews with the people and stuff, but I was like, oh, maybe we can do a little bit more of that. So anyway, Zorp. A year ago, he had a bunch of good videos of him talking to Weta guys, and they're really good.
Nice, right on. I was just like scrolling through Instagram, and one of those one of those things popped up where it shows the highest amount of whatever over the years. You know, it's like from 1950 to 2024, like this, you know, this fast food restaurant was the what had made the most money, right? And it like the years change and mm-hmm. each of the little columns or whatever, the rows.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Change and they bump around, they jump around. So you're just watching it change over the years.
Right.
Well, I just saw one just the other day, maybe yesterday, of highest grossing movies of all time.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like things were popping up and down and moving. You know, it was went from like the mid 1900s up until 2024, which I think currently it's still Avatar, the first Avatar. Which still the highest grossing. But all three of the Lord of the Rings movies were like popping up to the top. Oh, they're all like within the top 10, you know, along with like the Harry Potter movies and stuff like that. You know,
as they should be.
Right. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. All right. Well, cool. Well, we're coming up on a couple weeks away from Christmas. So I'm sure we'll, I guess Christmas is kind of on like a Wednesday or Thursday this year. So we'll see if we record something around then. We have, we got to do another Four Brothers podcast coming up sometime soon. So maybe we do one around New Year's or something. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. All right, guys. Well, make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube. Check out the newest Wooden Sword video and the Maker Camp video. Both, like I said, they're doing pretty well right now. So, you know, show us some love. We appreciate it. Head over there. Let us know what you think. Drop some comments in there. If you see anything like on a video where you think you have like a better way to do something or you have a suggestion for something, I'd always love to hear that. Or a suggestion for another video. You can always comment those there or send Devin or I messages on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy, where you can, again, message us there and also see what's happening behind the scenes. We'll try to put up, like, Devin, you've been doing a good job of making kind of a few shorts about the videos that we're putting up. So then those, like, shorts are, like, they can go into YouTube as mm-hmm. shorts or go into Instagram mm-hmm. as reels. So those are kind of fun. So you can check those out there as well as see what's going on behind the scenes. Like you can see this sweet ass little knife that I've been making and fondling during this whole podcast on Instagram. And yeah, I'll be posting the Whiskey River Osage Orange axe handle. Once I open that up, I might do that tonight. We'll see. Post a video there. And then you guys can also, if you want to support the podcast and the channel further, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and, you can support us there for as little as $1 a month. Which is not much. So those people that are over there that are supporting us, they also have access to the Discord, our Art of Craftsmanship Discord, which we try to pop on to and put things up on, you know, when we're making videos and we have ideas and stuff behind kind of more behind the scenes stuff. So those people also have access there. But, you know, just their generosity and the fact that they're giving to the channel is just above and beyond what we expect. So we really appreciate that. And it does all go back into making the channel and the podcast and all the stuff that we put out there that much more accessible and easier for us to do. So we appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, Devin, always a pleasure, man. It's good to chat with you again.
Yeah, brother.
Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.